Jesus is Lord. Well, we've been talking about rich in this world. You ready? So we're going to believe God. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe you right now for revelation of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God coming on us, changing us, revealing to us your specific plan. Yes, Father, you have specific plans for people. We grab on to those specific plans right now, and we call them into the earth in the name of Jesus. Be not hindered, do not hold back, but come forth and be established in this generation, in this people, and we will not fall back. We will not be hindered. We shall rise up to the greatness that you have for us, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We receive you and your revelatory ability right now in Jesus' name. We grab onto it with our faith. We thank you for it, and we walk into it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, amen, brother. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We all know this, right? You're saved, what? By grace. You know the grace. He's saying this. He's saying this to who? The Corinthians. But it's also written to you. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know this grace. Everybody say, I know this grace. He's lying to you if you don't know this grace. Okay, so you have knowledge beyond what your head may think. Did you ever know that? I got saved. I didn't know what happened to me, Alan. I was walking around like something's different. I can't go and do those things that I did before. I just feel weird about it. And why do I keep going to the Bible? And why do I keep opening to Job? Nobody can explain that to me. But I knew the grace. And do you think my inner man knew what happened? Of course. He received the life of God. He's in connection with the Spirit of God now. But my head was still out there in land. You know what I'm talking about. And then what happens? Revelation comes to me and up to my mind. Pretty soon I understand, hey, wait, when I made Jesus Lord, something happened on the inside of me and I found out these things. Do you think your inner man knows and is living in something that you don't know yet? I'm going to tell you right now. You know. You know this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he was made poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Okay, and we went about this last week showing you that Jesus was rich on this world. I got another scripture about it, and you know this. He was buried with the rich. Did you know that? He was born in a stable. He came in a humble stable, but immediately after that, here come kings bringing him gold and incense and myrrh, valuable things, right? He was rich at that point. You understand? He would have been in the inn, except they didn't have room for him. Hello? They were going to go to the inn. Well, poor Joseph, he was just poor. No, he wanted a room, but there was too many people in the city. He was rich. Everybody say, he was rich. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. When did he become poor? On the cross, he bore your poverty. This is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore your poverty. So shame on you for being poor. Can you say that, brother? Shame on the poor? Yes. Should the poor give tithes? Yes. Why? Because that's the covenant they have with God. This is how they cannot be poor anymore. Brother, how could you take tithes from the poor? Because they're not seeing, they aren't poor anymore. That's the good news. That's the gospel to the poor. Are you a sinner? You know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ? No. How can you live in sin? How can you continue any longer therein? You cannot. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know the grace. But do we know and walk and believe in this part of the grace where he was made poor so that we would be made rich? And it goes way beyond just us having a bunch of stuff. It's his riches. Everybody say his riches. His riches. Was it your righteousness? No, your righteousness was filthy rags, and thankfully you got rid of them. Your riches, I don't care how much it was. You got rid of that and traded it for his riches. Are they different? Oh, just as much as night is it from day. Remember we had the rich young ruler? We talked a little bit about him. He thought he had riches, and Jesus was trying to get him his confidence and trust off of those riches onto the kingdom riches, which are eternal. Because natural riches, they can go up and down, they can fail, can't they? But God's riches don't. They're one level all the time, and what level is that? Extreme. And this is what you got to get, and I hope I can get this across to you, and this is what excites me about it. Jesus' wealth is not in increments, it's fullness of wealth. It is huge. It is everything. It is the standard and measure by which all other things are measured. It's mind-blowing wealth. How are you, brother? I'm mind-blowingly wealthy, sister. How can you say that? Just the same way that you can say you're healed when you don't feel healed. It's the same way. Can you say when you feel like you're being oppressed with the thoughts of sin or something, can you say that you're the righteousness of God? That's the point, you better. I'm the righteousness of God. I resist this temptation. Well, it doesn't look like I have much in my bank account. Well, I resist that, and I say, I am the wealth of God. I am the wealth of God. He made me. Is Jesus the wealth of God? That's the wealth he gave you. It's huge. It's ridiculous. Brother, you sound like you have an attitude. I do. And God gave it to me. What's wrong with you? I've got an attitude. All right. You ready for this? I think you are. Glory be to God. For your sakes. Who? For whose sakes?
Our sakes.
Oh, he bore my sins for my sakes. For heaven's sakes. No, for your sakes. He bore your sin, but he bore your poverty for your sake. So shame on you, like I said before, if you remain in poverty and you don't receive his wealth. It's the same thing. You know this grace. You know it. It is hard to get past our religious bone, and I think it's right in the head somewhere. There's an extra bone there in the head. A bone head, right? Because for some reason, you know, it just doesn't seem religious enough to be correct. But this is correct. He bore your poverty. This is scripture. Is this scripture? He bore your poverty that you would bear his wealth. And let me tell you one thing. I'm not telling you to quit your job. Some people take a message like this and they just quit their job. Don't do that. Because if you're doing that, you're not listening to what I'm saying. But that's what I wanted you to say. I know, but you can't hear with those kind of ears. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world. And I went over this to the extreme last week. Who's the rich in this world? Who's the righteousness in this world? Who's the healed in this world? So, who's the rich in this world? We are, and this is who he's talking to. Thank you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches but in the living God. So he said don't trust in the uncertainty of riches, which can go up one day and down the other next, right? Even gold. Everybody says gold has intrinsic value, but the price of gold will go up and down. So just trusting in the value of that will go up and down. Does the riches of heaven go up and down? And if I can get you to see this, trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God. He's comparing himself to certain riches. Do you see this? Trust not in uncertain riches, things, but in the living God. Certain riches. That's what he's saying here. Don't trust in the uncertain ones. Trust in me. I'm the certain rich who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It's in black and white. It's in your Bible. There it is. That's certain. Is the word of God certain?
Yes.
Is it more sure? Jesus said the words are more sure than what you can see. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Here's some of his word. This will not pass away. This is certain riches. God certainly, Julia, provides you with all things for your enjoyment. Enjoyment? No. There's that religious bone again. Guess we didn't get it all out. Things. All things for your enjoyment. Don't let anybody criticize you and your things that you're enjoying when God gave it to you. If they're doing that, you know what that is?
Judas,
yes. Now, that's covetousness, people. And God told you not to do it, and guess what he's going to tell the person that's doing that to you? Don't do that. Otherwise, God would just keep us all extremely poor so nobody had anything, and then nobody would have any covetousness, would they? But I'm hoping to get you here, people. The only way that you can covet things is if you trust in the things, is if you want the things. By the end of today, I want you coveting something, but it's coveting the kingdom of heaven. Did he tell you not to do that? No, I'm going to show you that he's telling you to do that. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted, everybody say coveted. You know what coveted mean? It means to reach and stretch forth to obtain. You're coveting something, means you're stretching to it. You want it, right? You see your neighbor's golden dog on their front lawn. Golden dog. Well, you could have a golden retriever, and you covet it. You want one of those, and you reach and stretch for it. You're stretching with your will. You want one of those. That's what you want. I want it. But it's your neighbor's. And this is where you're missing it. Is it wrong for your neighbor to have the golden dog? God's richly providing him with all. What if he's the believer and he's believing God for it and he has one and God gave him this? All things to enjoy. It's a thing. And now you're coveting that instead of the thing God's trying to get you to covet, which is his kingdom. And he says, all things will be added unto you if you covet the kingdom. For the love of money is the root of. So he said, money is the root of all evil, didn't he? Money. Money's the root of all evil. No, the love of money. The coveting the money is the root of all evil. That's an extreme statement. Which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So stretching for the money, reaching for the money, wanting the money, wanting the things. They're erring from what the Bible says is the faith. And they're piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Everybody say sorrows. Well, brother, how are we going to get the things in? Hang on. Don't leave now. I want my golden dog. Some coveted after, and they have erred from the faith. Are you guys ready for this? Go to Genesis 14, verse 21. Now, was Abraham the father of our faith? Do we follow in his footsteps? We follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham, the scriptures say, who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness by faith. Genesis 14, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from thee a thread, even to a shoe latchet or a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. He lifted up his hand to the Lord and said, I'm not going to take anything of yours. So was he coveting at all here? No covetousness in Abraham. I'm not going to take anything of yours lest you say that you made me rich. So who did Abraham lift up his hand to? He lifted up his hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and said, guess what? Nobody can say they made me rich except God. God made me rich. Did Abraham covet that relationship with God? Above this. He probably saw that this was a temptation. He could have said, oh yeah, just give me all the stuff. But he didn't. He wasn't looking at the things. He was looking at God. Hallelujah, this gets good. 1 Timothy 6:17 said that they were pierced through with many sorrows. Proverbs 10:22 said, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow." The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no... The blessing of the what?
Lord.
Having your neighbor's dog? Having your neighbor's stuff? See, this is where the line is drawn, people. Know that the blessing of the Lord is what makes you rich. It's not the stuff. You get your eye on the stuff, what's it going to do? It's going to add sorrows. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This says the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Can you covet the blessing of the Lord? Is the blessing of the Lord a gift? The Bible says to covet earnestly the best gifts. This is just one of them. Covet the gifts. Covet the best things. Covet this, the blessing of the Lord. It will make you rich. The blessing will. And are you piercing yourself through with many sorrows? Knowing that it's the blessing on you that's going to make you rich. It's not the stuff. And it's hard to see, especially, and this is why the rich person had a really hard time getting this revelation, because he had so much stuff, he thought he was blessed. You people still here?
Yes.
You getting this? Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, was Abraham serving God, or was he serving the money? If he was serving the money, he would have said, "Yes, I've just conquered this army. All their stuff is mine. Over on my side. Now look at how wealthy I am." He said, "No, I've lift up my hand to God." He's serving God. God made him rich. And when you go on that side of things, there's no sorrow added with it. Would there have been sorrows if he took all the stuff? Because he would have been coveting the things. Especially if he'd have taken all the people. You cannot serve God. So, can you serve God and mammon?
No.
Mammon meaning money. Manning meaning the world system. Mammon meaning the things of the world. Things in this world. If you do, if you're striving after the things, it'll pierce you through with many sorrows. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the same things will be added unto you with no sorrows. Do you see this? It's a completely opposite way. It takes faith. You think God is able to get you more stuff than you could get just by striving for it? We know this. At least we should know this. We've all done some striving for stupid things in our past, or maybe our present, I don't know. Let's stop striving for these things, coveting them. Let's begin to covet the kingdom where everything, are added unto you. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God and mammon. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." You're not supposed to covet. Are you starting to see this at all? Are you starting to see why you're not supposed to covet the things that are your neighbor's? Because if you do, it's going to pierce you with many sorrows. Start to look at things that way. Say, "No, I don't want that. It's got these piercing things on it. It'll pierce you with many sorrows." But is he saying you can't have your own manservant, maidservant, and ass? Is he saying that? Is that what he's saying here? Covet not your neighbor's things. And people are missing it in one word here. It's neighbors. It belongs to your neighbor. Why would you? It's his. When you have yours, God's commandment is to him. He's not supposed to covet yours. And by the way, this is a commandment. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his boat, nor his airplane, nor his wife, Or you're going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Covet the kingdom and all things will be added unto you. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. And seek not ye. You could put in here covet if you wanted to be a stronger language. They didn't use it here. But this is what we've been talking about. Coveting things, right? Or not coveting things, whichever it is. But the same drive that you had to covet the things that might have been your neighbor's, you're going to have that same and an increased drive to covet through the kingdom. The same things, but you're going to get it through the kingdom. And is it okay? Is it okay to have the ass? You could have an ass farm. I'm just using King James here. Hallelujah. What about the cars? Is it a sin to have a car that's really expensive? Gold-plated, bulletproof, whatever you got to do, people. Is it wrong? If it's yours, am I supposed to covet it? If it's mine, are you supposed to covet it? No. What if it came from the kingdom of God, though? Hallelujah. Is there enough in the kingdom of God to provide you with whatever you need? Well, no, God's having a rough time these days. Haven't you watched the news? Are you kidding me? They had to shut down two of the gates of the city. They're not letting as many people in anymore. I don't think so. Hallelujah. Seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Is the world full of covetousness? Is it full after striving for things? They want the things, 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 more things. That's how they base who they are, is on their things. If I don't have the right stuff, then I'm not the kind of person that I should be. And they think we all care, and nobody does. You ever get something new? You get a new car or something, and you're driving around in it, and what are you thinking? I'm thinking that everybody thinks I'm really cool. You know, nobody's thinking that at all. They're probably thinking you're an idiot. And they're thinking they want the car. Right? They're not thinking you're the coolest thing around. Your happiness does not belong in other people's heads. Because it's not, if you knew what they were thinking about you, you wouldn't be happy anyway. Many sorrows. All these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye. Now, is he saying seek ye the same as he said seek not? He's the same language here. The same way that the world covets the things of the world, you're supposed to covet and seek after what? The kingdom of God and right standing with him. And when you do, what's he say? And all these things shall be added unto you. Now listen to me, is this more solid and more sure than the wealth of the world that was unsure? Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God who is certain riches. By seeking the kingdom, are you certain of your riches? If you guys can get this, you can join me in running around the room. Seeking the kingdom, is there in seeking the kingdom of God certain riches? Yes. Or is it certain poverty?
No.
Must be. Certain poverty and piety, they go hand in glove. Do you see this at all? There's certain riches, they're certain. If you continue in this direction in the kingdom of God, there's certain riches. Just the way he said that they were seeking the things they want. Does the world want new cars? Are we talking about the same things? Does the world want bigger houses? Closer to the beach? Does the world want businesses that does all the labor for them so they just sit there and collect their money? This is what they seek, strive, and covet after. The Father says He knows that you need these things. He said that if you seek him, these are certain to come to you. It's certain. Is it certain to come to the worldly man? No, it's certain to cause him many sorrows. You seeing this? This is certain. It's certain. It's certain riches. Brother, my faith is starting to grow. There's certain riches for you. Your father knows that you have need of all these things. All these things. The Amplified says it lovely. All these things taken together that the Gentiles have added, seeked, stored up, accumulated, shall be given to you by the power of the kingdom. All right. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is this kingdom sure? Is this kingdom solid? Is it based on the economic stability of the government? It's not based on anything in this world, and that's why it's sure and it's certain. Did you guys see this? There's certain riches. They're not fallible. They aren't going to go away. And look what he says here. Then he says, sell that you have. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, nor moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look what God is trying to do. He wants you coveting with all of your heart his kingdom, his way of being and doing right. By doing that, he knows he has you and he can give you all the other stuff. And you're never going to care about it. Your house will get bigger. Your cars will get faster. Faster? Yes, and you won't care about it. Because you covet the kingdom and his gifts and his righteousness. And what can you do with $100 million? What are you going to do with it? If your heart is where? Your heart and treasure is in the kingdom. You're going to sell more. You're going to give more. You're going to do all these things. Why does he say all of these things first? And then he says, give, sell. Because you know you have something to give. You know you have something to sell. And it's more sure. It is your father's sorrow to give you anything. It's your father's good pleasure. It pleases him to see you getting the kingdom, which is more sure. Because that kingdom produces all of the other stuff. It shall be added to you. Are you guys ready for a jump and a leap here? Yeah. All right. Show me where, brother, I'm jumping. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Brother, where do you find this stuff from? I pray in tongues a lot. Hallelujah. While I'm reading the word, obviously. Glory be to God forever. Chapter 29, 1 Chronicles, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And you could go on and on, I'm sure. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is the devil's. The devil has stuff. He would have you believe that, wouldn't he? He would have you, oh, yes, I control the stock market. Like a puppet on a string goes up and down and up and down. No, he doesn't. He would like you to think that. Don't think it. Take no thought saying that. Who? Let's read this again here. Thine, O Lord, who? O Lord, is the greatness, the power. There's other verses here, and I looked this up. It means the standard of excellence. He is it, as far as it goes. He's the standard. He's the measure by which all things exist and are held together by. He's it. He's the fullness of all things. He fills all in all. It's it. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty and all. Everybody say all. That is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now listen. He said it's his good pleasure to give you what? the kingdom. Did he separate this? Oh, the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. Is he separating it here? Is this scripture? Well, that's just an Old Testament verse, brother. And now, you know, in the New Testament, we know about more about the devil, and he has a little. Shut up! The kingdom. He owns it. Everybody say it. Who owns it, people? Look at this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the standard, the measure, the excellence, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and how else could he say that all things will be added unto you? How can he? Was he a thief? It belongs to people. How can he take from one and put it over there? Because it belongs to him. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Coveting his stuff. Covet him. And he'll give you the stuff. Why? Because everything. I don't care. Your neighbor's. It still belongs to him. Have we figured that out yet? Everything you have belongs to him anyway. And he gave it to you. When you know that you're in the kingdom and he's providing for you everything. Amen. Everything. Okay. Thine is the kingdom. Everybody say the kingdom. And he just said this was everything in heaven and everything in earth. Correct? And if we seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, then he's going to add all the things to us. We don't have to covet them. We don't have to go after them. We don't have to pierce ourselves through with many sorrows that can't be comfortable. We're seeking him. We're coveting him. We're coveting our relationship with him and doing things the right way, being in righteousness. And he says, through that method, all things that the Gentiles sought, that the Gentiles were striving and poking each other and stabbing themselves for, will be added unto you. Come on, the things they want? Yeah. What are you going to do with that football team? I don't know. Brother, that's just wrong. Somebody own a football team. They should sell it and give to the poor. Judas! We didn't even read verse 12. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as what? Head above all what? All the earth, all the heavens, all the kingdom. He's the excellence, the standard, the measure. Head above all, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. If it's real riches, it came from God. Otherwise, it's on a shaky ground, and that ground is what? The Bible said they're trusting in uncertain riches. Why is it uncertain? Because if they didn't get it from God, it's uncertain, and you're going to take it. He's already promised to give it to you. This is how it goes, whether people like it or not. Brother, that's just rough language. Well, remember the children of Canaan? Did they get all this stuff by the blessing of the Lord? No, they built, they worked with their own hands, they didn't. Now, it doesn't mean you don't work. But what it means is they did all this stuff and it was outside the kingdom of God because God had already promised it to the children of Israel. They came in by the power of God and just took it. Houses filled with all good things which they did not fill. Vineyards planted, ready to pluck. Do you pluck vineyards? I don't know. See, there'll be a lot of education that goes on as God delivers these things into your hand. You'll be visiting the library. The librarian will get to know you. What is it this week, Alan? Vineyards? Yes. Hangers. This week it's hangers. You hang your clothes on? No, hangers for airplanes. Let me ask myself a question. Are there enough airplanes in the world where I could just have a few? Who do they belong to? Well, they belong to, you know, the airplane. No, they belong to God. They're in his kingdom. And if I serve him, do you see why it's stupid to covet anything that belongs to somebody else? It doesn't really even belong to them. both riches and honor come from God. Hallelujah. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Can God make you great? If I can get this into your head, that's his plan for you, is greatness. Get that stupid little junk out of your head. It doesn't belong in there, and it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It can't, because this is the one who's providing it for you. He is. He's the standard to measure the excellence. There is no smallness in him. And when you represent him, that's it. You're taking over. Well, I just don't know about taking over. Well, then you're going to have to follow a different king, because he is. He's a consuming fire. He's going to consume everything. Everything you throw in the fire, whoo, glory be to God. Deuteronomy 28. You guys enjoying this? Hallelujah. Did I tell you that it's sure? If you follow God and his kingdom and seek his righteousness, is it a sure thing? Our riches, sure. He said, don't trust in the uncertain ones. The certain ones are in the living God who gives you richly all things. Everybody say all things. All things for the gospel, so you can give it away. Is that what he said? All things for your enjoyment. Okay. Well, I happen to enjoy collecting Cabbage Patch dolls. They're very expensive these days. Well, I think that's weird, Alan. No. But you know what? If you enjoy it and God's given it to you, I'm not going to covet it. Do you understand? Is there more than that? God owns it all, everything in the earth. Are there things in the earth people don't? What about diamonds? I happen to like diamonds. Oh, let's talk about diamonds. But if you happen to like them, are there diamonds in the earth?
Yes.
That they haven't even found yet?
Yes.
Big ones. Big ones you have to, like, drag behind you on a chain. Why don't you move very far? Because it's on my ring. Who's it belong to? God. He gives you richly. Richly. Why did he use the word richly? He gives you poorly in increments. A few things so that you at least will stay happy. Maybe. He said all things. All things for your enjoyment. And he commands. Listen. He commands everybody not to covet it.
Yes.
Get that. But they're not going to get it unless they're what? Seeking the kingdom of God. Right? Think about how much sorrow if they're coveting your stuff and they're trying to take it. And you got it from the kingdom of God. Now what sorrow's coming their way? There'll be a big old angel standing there. Did we find this yet? Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 47. Ha ha ha. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, everybody say joyfulness, and gladness of heart for the abundance of all. He said, now this is in the midst of the curse of the law, and don't go there. Jesus bore the curse, by the way, for you so that you don't have to bear any of the curse of the law. He bore it, your sickness, your poverty, your stupidity. Thank God. He bore the curse of the law. And then he said, verse 46 says, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and upon thy seed forever. He's saying this curse if you don't do what? Love the Lord your God. Seek him with all your heart. Serve him. It sounds just like the New Testament language of what? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Things. But he said, if you don't serve the Lord your God and obey his commandments and do those things which are right in his sight and hearken unto his words and do them, then all these curses are going to come on you and overtake you and your seed and generations, right? He says, verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies. He's commanding them to serve the Lord thy God for the abundance of all things. If you serve the Lord your God for something less, what are you going to get? What if you serve the Lord your God? Well, that's right. It's under the curse. You got to understand that God's blessings are extreme, and he expects his people to be extreme. They're peculiar people. Why are they peculiar? Because they're extreme. If you serve him for anything less, he's commanding you. He's saying that the curse is going to come on you. You must serve the Lord your God for complete healing and health.
Hallelujah.
With no sickness coming on you. Everybody say no.
No.
Well, what if you don't serve him for that? Then the curse comes on you. Do you understand? Do you see the type of people God's raising up? He's raising up a people. What about poverty then? Just a little bit of poverty, a little poorness there. You know, it helps keep you humble. According to this, then that's the door and the foothold for the curse to come in. I got to get you here, people. What kind of person are you supposed to be? Jesus bore your poverty. You are supposed to bear and walk in some of his riches.
All.
And what kind of riches does he have? Did we read this before? It was the standard, the excellence, the measure, super ridiculous abundance. He is the owner of all. Brother, this sounds extreme. Well, you know, read your Bible every once in a while. Goodness. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those riches are sure to you. They are certain. What riches? His riches, which is everything. And if you serve him for less than everything, guess what? The curse. Are you seeing this? Is this getting your level of understanding to come up? Man, I got to take the whole thing now. Why do you think I've been saying if we're going to take the city, we take the whole thing?
Yes.
We don't mess around. Right? We can't, because this is the nature of God. He doesn't come and do it halfway. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all the sins of the world. Why didn't he just die for some? He knew that some people wouldn't take it. He knew. Oh, God in his infinite wisdom would have known that, you know, Charlie Leroy Brown wouldn't come in because he was the baddest man in town. And you knew he wouldn't come in, so why did Jesus have to bear his sins? I don't know. He's God.
Yes.
Okay? Just get over it, suck it up, and believe God for who he is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And when he says you're believing for his wealth, it's his wealth. And what if we don't see his wealth, then we don't know what to believe for, and we're believing for something else, and therein lies the curse.
Hallelujah.
Did Jesus bear all the curse of the law? Amen. Then we have no right to live in any of it.
Amen.
And I'm believing this for this church and the people who stay here and abide here. No sickness, absolute health, no poverty, no debt, none, absolute wealth. This is a testimony. This is a witness in the earth. Let the markets go up and down, but you're right in them. We always profit. Every single trade, everything we do is God blessing us, God blessing us, God blessing us every single time. Never fail. Why don't they ever fail? Because we're walking by the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Brother, that's just, come on. That's the gospel. This is the way it is. Are we there yet? No. Well, look in the mirror. You're like, man. You could use some improvement. Yeah, but you know, this is where it comes from. We strive, we covet after. Why are you doing that? You know what they do to stockbrokers? I used to want to be one. Really? That's weird. You know what they do to them? They take them out to some place. I know Merrill Lynch did this anyway. And I probably used to know the place because I wanted to go there and I coveted it. They would take them out there and they would spoil them rotten on riches. They would go out there, they'd give them the nicest room, they'd drive them around in limousines and wipe their mouth when they spilled something, their caviar or whatever. They would spoil them rotten for 2 weeks and show them all the possibilities. What were they doing? They were getting them to be covetous. They wanted it. They wanted to taste the good life. They get the taste of caviar in their mouth. So when they're calling you up on the phone to try to get you to buy something, they're pretty serious about it. No, you got to buy this. What if it goes down? It can't go down. Well, the Bible says it could go down. It's uncertain. No, don't read that. Listen to me. I'm your stockbroker. You know I'm not telling lies up here. This is what they do. They're trying. And what am I doing now? You're past a broker. I'm trying to get you to covet the kingdom. The stuff you're trying to get, you're trying to covet your name. No, that stuff is, that's just stupid. You start to get kingdom minded, you realize how stupid the stuff is. You care less about it. Doesn't matter. Why? Because the kingdom, you're serving the living God who owns it all. And all that stuff just comes to you. He said so, and it's certain. If I follow him, it's certain. They never said it was certain at the stock marketplace, training center. They said, no, you're going to have to wrestle every dollar you get out of them, but you can do it. This is certain, people. You cannot fail. Everybody say, I cannot. I fail. Unless you start coveting the things. You go back in the other. No, start to see what it is. If I follow God. And see, this is where the religious bone. See, keep that thing out of your ear. You say this, I'm seeking the kingdom, and that means you're seeking wealth. No, I didn't say that. I'm seeking the kingdom. Remember, he said they've erred from the faith. By coveting the thing, they've erred from the faith. Have you erred from the faith by coveting the kingdom, knowing that it's sure that his riches will be added unto you? No, that is the faith. And it's a fine hairline, and people don't like it. Too bad. Pluck that hair. Because you served not the Lord your God with joyfulness and glad. Did you underline this scripture? You read this scripture. You are now serving the Lord your God, the kingdom of God, with what? Joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Why aren't you going to covet your neighbor's house or donkey? So you like that better? Why aren't you going to covet these things? Because the kingdom provides it to you. All of it. Why would you want one donkey when you can have all the donkeys? Are you starting to see this? Now, do you think this is the only place I found this random, obscure position in the Bible, way back in Deuteronomy? It's just obscure. He's trying to twist this. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope you see that this is all throughout the Bible. Everybody say all. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. But covet. No, brother, we're not supposed to covet. What? Your Bible says to covet. Covet earnestly the best. Wait a minute. Covet earnestly some, the good ones. Is that what he said? Is this the language he said? Now, it's because if you don't serve him for the abundance of all, the best, the greatest, the standard, the measure, the excellence, you're serving him for the curse. You're serving him for something that he is not. Is he anything but the best, the greatest, the most, the supreme being? Have you ever heard that? He is the supreme being. So then who are you and what are you serving him for? For the best gifts. Covet them. Earnestly strive after them, seek them, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is it sure to you that when you do, all things will be added on? It is more sure than the world who thinks they have it now. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Go to John 1:16. And I'm going to try to begin wrapping this up. I don't know if I can. Or want to. Are you starting to see that you're going to have to believe God for a little more something than you thought you were before? Brother, I never heard anything like this before. Well, now, you're it now. Now you have to. You're responsible for those things that have been revealed to you. You know, you might have been able to get by before by just believing God for the little bit of something. But once you know what God's requiring of you, You've got a lot to believe for, right? The best, the greatness, the excellence, the standard, the measure. This is you. John chapter 1 and verse 16. And of his partialness have all we received. And grace for grace. We began this by saying, you know the what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace. He said, of his fullness, you have all received. And grace for grace. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he was made poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. We know this grace. We have of his fullness all received. This is, come on, people. You still here? Do you even know who you are? In him, in God, you are walking around with the fullness of the capacity for just taking over. Taking over? Yes. Right? It's just our heads that we're having a problem with this. We have to get it screwed on straight with the Word of God. Did you read this? Of his fullness, completeness, we have all received. It's there. This is who you are. That's why some people will hear this and they'll go, this something, even though my head's having a problem with it, this is right. This is what I'm born for. This is who I am. It's going to take a little bit with my head to get this straightened around, but this is speaking to me. Why? Because this is who I am. I'm called into the kingdom for such a time as this. What's the kingdom? It's just in heaven. No, it's on earth and in heaven. God's looking for a people who will stand up and be who he's already called them to be. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Here's where it gets good. Just now it's getting good. How many of you know that Jesus said, whatever you give, whether you give mothers or sisters or houses, did he say give houses? Come on, that seems like a pretty good gift. That's a sizable gift. What's one average house? 200 and something? Say $240,000. When was the last time you gave a $240,000 offering? Well, let's see, what time is it? That's you. Houses. He said if you give houses, plural. Why does Jesus talk like this? Because of the kingdom he lived in and came from. And what did he say would be multiplied back to you? Houses and things, the other things he listed, 100-fold. Brother, you're twisting the scriptures. Okay, whatever. You think I'm twisting the scriptures? I'm not. I'm just telling you the way it is. And the way he could say this is because of the kingdom he walked in. Was Jesus' needs met by the riches on the earth? No, by the riches in glory, and we're getting there. He's ruler of heaven and earth, remember. He didn't say earth and heaven. He said heaven and earth. Different. One rules over the all, and I don't have time to go into all of that, but the heavens rule over the earth. That's why the people that think they're ruling on earth, their stuff is not sure to them. It's built on the wrong foundation. But yours isn't. In the kingdom of God, it's certain. What did Jesus say when he said 100's going to come to 100-fold with what? With persecutions. Why? Brother, I'm not believing for that. No, and you shouldn't. Let's just ignore that part. No, we're not going to ignore it because you need to know that it's coming. With the multiplied blessing, the 100-fold that comes to you, what also comes with it? Persecution. Who comes to steal the word out as soon as it's sown? The devil. You think he wants you being this multi-billionaire? You kidding me? No, he wants it in the hands of people who might, you know, do something corrupt with it. So what's he going to try to do? He's going to try to come again. Okay, let's read this. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? I hope so. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, you've got to hear these words. If you need to, go home and study them out. Look them up in your concordances. Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. It means to be thrown beyond to the extreme. What I'm talking about right now, this is throwing your mind way on beyond to the extreme. You're like, oh my goodness, is this even possible to me? Ah, yes, it is. Lest I be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it again. Exalted. It means the word, we get our word hyperbole from it. Hyperbole means it's like a mile high ice cream cone. That would be a hyperbole. Mile high ice cream cone. That's a large ice cream. That's extra, extra large. A mile high. How would you eat it before it melted? You couldn't. It's the throwing beyond. It is so extreme. Do you understand? Unless you should be thrown beyond to the extreme through what? The abundance of the revelations. So what do you think the devil's really concerned about? The revelations. He wants to make sure that this doesn't really get down in there. Which, and where's revelations come? It comes from the word of God coming to you, seeping down into you, knowing that you have a surety in the kingdom of heaven that what? Takes over his kingdom and kicks him out. So how are you going to be? And I was hoping you'd get to this to show me how I could walk in it. This is how, through the abundance of the revelation. Abundance meaning what? Something over and above. So if you have a revelation that takes you over and above the problem, voila! If you're in debt, you need a revelation that what? Takes you over and above that. If you're having a situation or some circumstance in life, you can't figure out how to buy the whole East End and you want to. But you have a revelation that throws you over that. Where's the devil? He's trying to stop that revelation from coming in. How do you think you're going to walk in the kingdom of God? You had a lot of revelation this night. I could tell it's seeping into you when you start to see that, hey, the kingdom of God promises me sure wealth, unshakable wealth. It has to, because God is wealth. He is the one who owns it all. You're serving him. It's sure. It's unshakable. And you will be, through the revelation that has come to you, thrown over a circumstance. You'll be thrown over. That the revelation that Jesus bore your poverty, what does that do? It throws you over poverty. You're now, you've overcome that. Are we to be overcomers?
Yes.
How do we overcome? By the revelation that God's given us. Hello, and there we stand. Revelation of Jesus took my sicknesses and bore my sins, right? If he took my sicknesses and a revelation comes on me, I stand above it. We're thrown beyond. And lest I should be exalted or thrown beyond, above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he goes on to tell how that, verse 9, it says that Jesus said, my grace is sufficient to you, and I could take you back. I could preach prosperity off of this. He said, you know the grace. It's the revelation of the grace that puts you over that. It's the revelation of the grace that puts you over the sickness. It's the revelation of the grace. And that's why Jesus didn't say, no, Paul, we all have our thorns. He says it's in the revelation of grace that you've been preaching. Stand up and do something about it. And when he finally did, we see that this evil spirit, which was a messenger of Satan, by the way, it didn't come from God. You guys are ready for this. Deuteronomy 29:29. So what is going to throw you beyond the circumstance you're in? And into what? Now, what do we believe in God for? Just some get me by? Does God have any get me by? No, you're believing him for the abundance with joyfulness and gladness of heart. The abundance of all that he has. Does God have divine health for us? Are we believing him for it?
Yes.
What about every cell of our body being healed? And every one of us, we pray this for each other, right? Let's stand together and we can walk in the abundance of all that God has for us. Is that wealth in the world? Is that riches in this world? Yes, the abundance. What would be the abundance of all that God has for us in this world? That's everything. Wow, that sounds extreme. It is extreme. But I'm telling you, if you don't believe him for the best, you're going to be operating in a part of the curse. So it's all of it. You don't have to covet your neighbor's anything because it belongs to God. Covet God. And somehow he'll get that thing to you. Your neighbor might even just drive it over into your driveway. I'm not kidding. But it will be when you don't covet it and you covet the kingdom. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Now hang on. What belongs to the Lord our God? The secret things. Now, what else belongs to the Lord our God? Everything in heaven, everything in earth. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So, Paul said, I was being exalted above measure through revelation. When does the thing that belongs to God, we've seen this, right? It all belongs to him, everything in heaven and in earth. When does that thing become yours according to this scripture? When it's revealed. Those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. It's the revelation that puts it into your hand, that puts you above it. And I know I've been here 100 times. This is God's method, is to reveal things to you and put you in it. It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing. All the promises of God are yes and amen. But when that promise dawns on you, it becomes revealed unto you, you have it. There's nothing impossible to the man or woman who hears from God. Because that in that hearing is the revelation. How did God do anything? With words, right? It's the way he moves it around. Brother, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You don't need to know how. You keep seeking his kingdom and he'll reveal it to you and you'll just stand in it. By his revelation knowledge. You'll just be driving down the road one day, praying in tongues, worshiping God, seeking the kingdom, quoting the word, saying, mine, and all of a sudden, he shows you a revelation of how to bring it to pass, and now it's yours. John chapter 16 and verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. This is Jesus talking. All things. So what does the Father have? Are you still, people still here? The Father has what? All the things in heaven, all the things, everybody say things. All the things in earth, all the things under the earth, they all belong to God. He is the greatness. Jesus is saying, now, see, I'm not making this up. This is the language Jesus used. Do you understand? If you knew who God was and that he's the creator and owner of all things, and Jesus said, all things the Father has are mine. What? Is this guy a maniac? No, he just happens to be the Son of God. And he even said parables about how, you know, If you serve the Father, all the things, you could have had any of it any time you wanted. Any of the things. Slay the fatted calf or the skinny one. It doesn't matter. Slay it. It's yours. Jesus is saying this. All things that the Father has are mine. Everybody say mine.
Mine.
Say it again.
You're
going to be doing this. Why? Because all things the Father has are mine. Now, Jesus bore your poverty so that you would bear his mine. Was Jesus saying this? All things the Father has where Jesus is. Okay. Brother, you're twisting my head. I know, but it feels good, doesn't it? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I. Notice he says something. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now the word show, okay, that's nice. It's a show. No, it means to transmit. Yes. It means to reveal. And what comes with the revelation? The thing. We just showed you that. Now, who's going to do this? Do you know who we're talking about here? Do you know what church you're in? Brother, you put too much emphasis on the Holy Ghost. No, Jesus did. Take it up with him. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll receive of mine. Yes. He'll receive of mine. The Holy Ghost, he's in the earth today. He's going to receive from God, and he's going to transmit it unto you. He's going to reveal it unto you.
Hallelujah.
What things? Oh, you know, just you know, everything, everything. We serve God for the abundance of all. That means all. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive your word. We know it's a big word. We ask that this would grow on us until it consumes our entire beings. We seek you and your kingdom, your righteousness. And we expect that all things through your kingdom and through your righteousness will be added unto us. We receive it. We thank you for it. We serve you, Father, with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, we consecrate ourselves to it. Right here, right now, we receive it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.